Proverbs 23. What's this point about? The first point was about controlling our anger. Second point, controlling what comes out of our mouth. Third point, controlling our fleshly appetites. What kind of appetites are we talking about? We touched on fornication and adultery. Those are major appetites that people struggle with today in the United States of America. Temptation is all around us, and our society has condoned of those activities. So that's a big area of struggle for a lot of people today. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20. Be not among wine bibbers. Okay, bibbers there means wine drinkers. Bibber is like the Spanish word beber, right? Means what? To drink. So, be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So God's warning us about two things here, drunkenness and gluttony. Go back to verse 1, and let's see a self-control element here. Proverbs 23, verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are a deceitful meat. Now, let me just point out that phrase at the end of verse 2, given to appetite. That means you have a tendency to be one who overeats. You have a tendency to indulge in too much food. Now, everybody has different problems or tendencies or proclivities. Some people are going to struggle more with certain sins that are pretty easy for other people to resist, and vice versa, right? We all have the same temptations that are common to man, but for some people, they're going to struggle in different areas. You know, one guy, fornication might be his biggest temptation. Another guy, he could be really given to appetite. Another guy is given to wine, right? These are proclivities, tendencies, pitfalls that we need to know about ourselves and watch out for in our own lives. That's why the Bible says that the pastor should not be one who's given to wine, right? What does that mean to be given to wine? It means that his tendency would be toward drinking wine. This is a guy who's given to appetite. And what does the Bible say that he should do? Put a knife to thy throat. Now, this isn't talking about somebody else having a knife to his throat. This is about him having a knife to his own throat. Not literally, but figuratively. And what if you did this at a restaurant, putting the butter knife to your throat, that's not much of a threat. But the point is, the knife to the throat is not literal. What is it saying? Self-control. Self-control. I mean, if you're putting a knife to your own throat, that's you controlling yourself, right? Understanding. And look, this is a great verse because what it tells us is identify the area of weakness in our life and then use self-control. You know, you could use this to other areas besides food. You know, if you're a man that's given to fornication, you know, so to speak, put a knife to your throat. You know, make sure that you control yourself. You could insert whatever the sin there and use self-control. So the Bible teaches against gluttony. And the Bible says if you're a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Go to James chapter 1, James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, self-control. What does that mean? You know, we need to also be careful with what we eat, right? Now, we live in a time where, you know, most preachers, they don't touch on this issue, okay, for a few reasons. Number one, it offends people. And my desire is never to offend people or hurt people's feelings, okay? If I ever preach about something and I kind of hit the nail on the head or it hits kind of close home with you, it's not because I'm just trying to burn you. I don't get up in the morning and say, you know who I'm really going to sock it to this morning? I'm going to get him good this morning. I'm going to burn her from the pulpit. And, oh, it's going to feel so good to watch them squirm when I start preaching on their sin. You know, that's not my intention. You know, the purpose of preaching against sin is because you love people and you want to help them. Amen. Preaching helps us to be better people. If we're sitting in the pew and we hear preaching against a sin that we're given to or that we have a tendency to do, we'll sin less if we're in a hard preaching church. I mean, it's just a fact. If you're in church and you hear preaching against your sin, you're less likely to commit that sin. That's one of the biggest reasons to come to church, is to get chewed so that you don't go out and just live an indulgent life of sin, right? We tend to let things slip in our lives, and then the pastor gets on it, and we're like, oh, man, you know, we need to deal with that. All of us, everybody, So, you know, pastors who won't touch on certain subjects because they know it offends people, what it means is that they love themselves instead of loving people. So they want people to like them. So they're only going to say things that are going to make people like them. But sometimes a little tough love has to be shown, and we have to tell people what they don't want to hear for their own good. And I've even had some people where I preach something that makes them so mad that they'll quit the church, but then I'll hear about how that person is doing what I preached. It's like, oh, man, it makes me so mad, but they still end up doing it. Well, then, you know what I say to that? Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Because to me, it's more important that people live for God than that they attend this church. So if I make you so mad that you, I can't believe he hit on my sin, I'm never coming back, but then you actually go out and get that sin out of your life because you were so mad, think about that. Because it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about serving the Lord. You know, it's about getting sin out of our lives, and hard preaching does that. So the subject of eating, or, you know, it's not something that you'll hear about in most churches simply because, number one, it offends people, and number two, because usually the pastor is carrying quite a spare tire of his own. So it's going to be pretty hard for him to get up and start talking about self-control and denying self and putting a knife to your throat and how the gluttony is going to come to power. It's pretty hard for him when he looks like he's about 9 months pregnant. It's hard for him to preach that. Okay? Now look, and again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's true, that is not the right way to treat your body. And if it is the right way to treat your body, well then, you know what? Let's go smoke a pack of Marlboros after the service. Right? I mean, virtually no preacher in America would say that smoking is okay or that smoking's good for you. Pretty much every preacher in America would say, don't smoke, it's bad for you. But there are other ways that we could abuse our body. And again, I realize this is a tough one, especially for people that have gone a long ways down this road. It can be hard to fix it. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these people that thinks we should all look like Hollywood stars and we should all be twiggy and skinny. And look, everybody's got their own, you know, look and proportion. And God didn't create everybody to be skinny and bony and twiggy. So don't get me wrong here, okay? I'm not saying you need to look a certain way or something. Or be overboard. But I am saying that there should be some thought that goes into the food that goes in your mouth. I mean, is that so radical to say that you should eat some fruits and vegetables and that you should eat healthy food and not just go fast food? I mean, look, if you're driving through fast food every day and you're just drinking Coca-Colas, you know what? That's not good for you. I know this is shocking to you. But that's not good for you to eat like that. And then some guys that are naturally slim, like myself, I'm kind of a naturally slim person. You know, sometimes guys like me will just take it as a carte blanche of just, oh, well, I'm thin. That means I'm healthy. Let's just put whatever junk in. But here's the thing. Just because you're thin doesn't mean you're getting proper nutrition either. Okay. So we should be wise in all areas of our life. We should be smart. So I'm not just saying this is a big versus little thing. You know, we should think about eating nutritious foods, eating healthy, using some self-control. Yeah, of course, we all want to. Look, in my flesh, you know, I would love to down several root beers with lunch today. You know what I mean? I mean, in my flesh, yeah, I could easily drink a Coca-Cola with every lunch and dinner. I wouldn't go so far as to do it with breakfast, but with lunch and dinner, I could see myself easily downing several Coca-Colas. Tastes better than water, amen? But here's the thing, water's good for you. Amen. So sometimes we need to deny Coca-Cola and drink water instead as our primary beverage, right? Maybe save a little money, take care of our bodies a little bit, than to just constantly have to be pouring Fanta and Faygo and everything, you know, Dr. Pepper's, just that stuff is not good for you when it's got the sodium benzoate preservatives, it's got artificial colors, artificial flavor, and the diet sodas with the artificial sweeteners, you know, it's been linked to cancer, and yeah, I know you don't want to hear this, so I'm going to change the subject, but I'm saying, you know, we need to use self-control when it comes to our diet. Amen. You know, and we need to make sure that we use self-control when it comes to not sitting around and getting lazy either. right? Because if we get up and move our bodies, that's a big health indicator as well. You know, hopefully you have a job that keeps you physical, but a lot of us today don't have a very physical job because of all the technology. You know, we need to make a point to have some self-control. Even though it feels good to just sit on the couch after work, we might need to say to our family, hey, why don't we go take the dog for a walk? Why don't we hop on our bicycles and take a bike ride? Why don't we go hiking? Why don't we get out and do, you know, your family would probably enjoy that anyway. Get out, move around a little bit, get a little exercise instead of just indulging the flesh of just eating chips off your chest in front of the TV, right? Sitting in front of the idiot box, past the soda, past the pork rinds, past the beer nuts, and let's just sit here and veg. Some of you need to stop vegging figuratively and start vegging literally, like eat a vegetable, right? All right, I'll get off that. Sorry about that. Really sorry that I preached the truth for a minute.